Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is going to be the second in our podcast series talking about the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. So again, in the room is myself, Craig Gears, and I'll go around the room.
John White with Federal Programs.
Sean Owen with Federal Programs.
Deirdre Smith, also Federal Programs.
Eric McGee, Federal Programs, Grants Unit.
And Deirdre and Eric are our experts on the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. So we are going to pick up with the conversation we ended the last time we were together, and I'll let either Sean or John.
And I'll start out. For Eric, Deirdre, if you want to jump in here, to just basically explain what the process is for school systems to receive the McKinney-Vento grant.
Well, the McKinney-Vento grant is a discretionary grant. It is competitive. Every district has to implement the McKinney-Vento Act. So that's for every district. But there are some districts that have a large number of homeless children and youth. And so in the state of Georgia, we ask that a district has to have at least 150 counted in the previous school year before they can apply. And so there is a grant on top of what the districts would normally use. Normally, districts would use a portion of their Title I funding to address the needs of children experiencing homelessness.
So is that actually a requirement when they receive their Title I fundings that they have to do a set aside of that funding for homeless?
Yes, indeed. That is a requirement that every district, even if they didn't have any counted in the previous year, they still have to have something set aside because homelessness is unpredictable. And at any given point in time, someone might experience homelessness, and you need to be able to access the resources to help them immediately and not have to wait and go through a budget amendment and approval and that type of thing. So every district has to set aside at least a portion of their Title I for homeless children and youth. But a lot of districts have so many children that that set aside really doesn't meet the need. So they apply for an extra grant. And so for McKinney-Vento, there is a separate grant that we receive. It's small in comparison to a lot of other federal programs, but very important. So we've been hovering around the $2 million mark for the state. So there's not a whole lot of money for over 40,000 children, 40,000 children identified in a given school year. And so last year was over 40,000 identified to split that money up. But it helps with removing barriers to full participation in school. And so that process for applications is much like other federal programs. There's an application RFA that goes out, a request for application. Districts let us know whether they're going to apply or not. And if they are, then we have technical assistance. We provide guidance and training for how to apply for the grant. What makes a good application. That application is then scored here. And we normally have a panel of outside readers. So we're not scoring it here ourselves. We have some outside readers that look at the application, score them for viability. We take the top scores and we fund them accordingly. And so right now we have about 44, 45 districts that have received funding.
How many, just out of curiosity, how many districts, you mentioned the 150 student threshold as being eligible. How many districts, generally speaking, are eligible to apply? You mentioned we have about 44, 46 who actually received the grant, but do you have any idea how many could actually apply if they chose to?
It's about 60. About 60 of our districts. We have over 200 districts in Georgia and at least 185, 190 of those have identified homeless children and youth. But about 60 or so have that reached that 150 mark that could apply. And we, again, funded about 45, 44 of those districts.
So you find that most of them who have the option to apply for these additional McKinney-Vento funds do so?
Yeah, most do. Good. Vast majority.
That's good.
You know, Eric, earlier you mentioned that whether they get funding or not, districts are required to implement the McKinney-Vento Assistance Act.
Yes.
So can you tell the audience, how do the districts know to do that, and do you provide any training just about that unrelated to the funding if they're supposed to implement it?
We do it in several ways. We have continual training throughout the year. We're everywhere. So anytime you see federal programs training, we're normally there. But we require set aside within our budget approval process, so they can't even move forward without even having a budget. And so if they have a budget, that implies you have a plan in place. Mm-hmm. And so that plan is listed in the CLIP, our consolidated LEA improvement plan. So every district has to have a plan in place. So, and as part of that plan, they have to address how they're going to handle the needs and give supports to children that might be experiencing homelessness in their district. So they actually have to write a plan in place. So districts are very aware that right. This population is available, because they have to write a plan on how they're going to have those services.
You know, and on a separate note, John, I've noticed when I've been in school buildings as well as central offices, I see posters.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the purpose of the posters that I've seen?
Yes, we've required, especially as part of our monitoring process, that they have materials, posters, brochures available in every school, so that if there is a family experiencing homelessness, they know where to find support. And so that's a requirement. And we also encourage them to have even community locations. So in addition to just the schools, maybe low-cost hotels, motels, residential facilities, have these materials available as well.
And I would assume the posters probably have that liaison's name on it, and the liaison is the person who probably visits the hotels and those community places to put the posters up and to restock them.
And so they're required to have notify who the homeless liaison or the McKinney-Vento liaison in the district is, so they can find the supports that they need.
So is it safe to say that, just for the audience who's listening, that all districts, 220-odd districts, everybody implements the McKinney-Vento Assistance Act. A lot of them are using Title I-A funds.
And have a plan to do it.
And they have a plan to do it. Mm-hmm. And they might have lower numbers of students experiencing homelessness. But the McKinney-Vento grant itself is designed to support those districts that have larger numbers.
Exactly.
So they've reached that 150 threshold.
Yes.
And they're getting extra funds for that.
Okay. Yes.
I'm just making sure that we're all thinking of that the same way. You did mention the plan. Can you talk a little bit about how the plan is developed? Is it who's involved in developing the plan, whether it's for the McKinney-Vento grant or for the district without that grant?
Sure. In Georgia, we have a CLIP that includes all of our federal programs. And so the federal program folks at the local level, all of them are responsible for developing that plan. Specifically, the homeless liaison is listed as a required person being a part of that planning. So for McKinney-Vento, we do have our liaisons, or McKinney-Vento liaisons, being a part of that process. But all the federal program directors, certainly the different federal program directors for all the different titles, Title I, Title II, Title III, and so on. The superintendent, of course, because they have to sign off on those plans. So the power structure, the power administrators in the districts are involved. So it's really a team effort on the local level to develop these plans, and a part of that plan should include homelessness or how they're going to address families experiencing homelessness in that plan. So,
in the application for the actual McKinney-Vento grant funds, that gets into more granular detail, right? Because they're obviously, they have greater needs than that basic plan can address, and that's the purpose.
Yes, and ultimately, grantee districts, Eric mentioned that we have around 45 districts. Every year, they conduct a comprehensive needs assessment as a grantee to identify their program outcomes as well as program objectives for the subsequent funding year. And so, in conjunction with the CLIP that their district is doing, they engage in a more detailed level of planning because they certainly receive grant funds, but they're delivering, in many instances, a more robust version of a McKinney-Vento program and services to their families because they have such large numbers.
Yeah, we know they at least have 150.
At least 150, yeah. But we have districts upwards of 3,000 McKinney-Vento students.
Wow.
So I think you've addressed a lot of the questions that we have about the process, the program proposals, people involved. To sort of wrap it up, can you tell us who approves what the school will do each year?
Well, it's more than just the school, because McKinney-Vento is a district-wide plan. Mm-hmm. So it's not a school plan per se. Now, certainly they might have a plan in place to make sure that the school personnel know what McKinney-Vento is, that these children are enrolled immediately, but it is a district-wide plan more than a school-wide plan. And so the McKinney-Vento liaison is responsible, or that person, that point person in the district, to make sure that all homeless children, no matter what school they go to, get resources. And so they don't have to be in a Title I school. As long as it's an LEA school, they can receive different supports, and we can talk about that a little later.
All right, and you're our ombudsman, so it just made me think, as far as students who may be identified, and we may not even know, who attend a private school, are they eligible for support?
No, private school students do not fall under the federal requirements for McKinney-Vento. However, we do encourage districts who may have McKinney-Vento students who transfer out to private schools to maintain a collaborative relationship with private schools and to encourage private schools to participate in professional development that we offer throughout the state so that they can enhance their knowledge and come up with their own independent plans for meeting the needs of students who may have shifted in or become identified as homeless while in enrolled.
So I see. So the technical assistance that your office provides to the school districts really pushes that point that the school districts need to reach out to private schools to let them know about professional development opportunities and things like that?
Yes, okay. And we certainly have seen an increase in that and enhanced services to students who may leave a traditional LEA and shift into private schools because private schools are now building better relationships with local education agencies and liaisons.
I want to touch on something that you mentioned, unaccompanied youth. Could you talk a little bit more about, because are they necessarily enrolled in school? Could they be, on the run, highly mobile? What are some of the characteristics of that group?
The unaccompanied youth that we're referring to for McKinney-Vento are going to meet that definition for McKinney-Vento. They lack a fixed, regular, and adequate residence. The only difference is they're not in the physical custody of their parent. And so those youth are going to need some extra support, as the McKinney-Vento program is really an advocacy program. And so the McKinney-Vento liaison can serve as an advocate in certain cases for those children. Those children might be running away from home. They might have experienced some type of trauma at home. There might be an incident where there's a term called throwaway, which I don't like, but they might have been kicked out of their home. And those children, if they're doubled up with someone else, and this would fall into that case, or they're in a shelter, not in the physical custody of a parent, they, in most cases, will qualify for McKinney-Vento, so they're going to get those services necessary. And it's important not only that they get those services, but one side thing is if you're experiencing homelessness in your senior year, you qualify for more grants and scholarships. And so that's one of those important things that everyone should know, that if you're going through this situation, there's a avenue for you to transition even out of public school to career or college.
Awesome, because I could see if I were in that situation, I could easily lose hope about my future.
Exactly.
So the fact that I know that there's someone's there who potentially could be helping me with financial, incentives, that's awesome.
In addition to that, we have collaborated with our colleges and universities in the state of Georgia. So there is a point person at every state college and every state technical school in Georgia for kids that might have been experiencing homelessness coming out of public school, foster care, so that that point person can also kind of help and guide them to make sure that they not only get in school, but stay in awesome. School if they go to college or technical school.
That's great. All right. Well, that was a quick 15 minutes, and we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for the discussion on this important topic, and we will join you again for the third podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.